Last time on Definitely D&D Highway to Heal, our heroes, lost in a magically induced snowstorm, struggled to reach its source. A devil named Nikazal, who was using a magical artifact called the Heart of Agathys to create snow toys in a diabolical scheme to trick the children of Faerun out of their souls. After evading a group of devils who had planned an ambush, the adventurers reached Nikazal's lair, where they battled and slew the devil, and in doing so, ensured that the image of Christmas would never be tainted with such foul and wicked deceptions. In the aftermath of the battle, they found a few magic items and obtained some valuable information from the imp Floater, who told them that one of the people they were looking for just might be a powerful Hell Knight in Zariel's service. And after conjuring some tiny huts, they settled in for a long rest, fully exhausted from the day's ordeals. And we return now to them in the morning. During these 8 hours of rest, a few of you took watch, but thankfully nothing else happened. While reawaken, as light returns to Avernus, you stretch the aches and pains out of your bodies, as yesterday was strenuous on all of you between the freezing cold and the frantic fights with the devils. Your vehicle, Lilith, is still a bit of a ways back, as you did have to abandon it in order to get through an otherwise impassable canyon. But the day is ahead of you, and you all have a destination in mind. The Wandering Emporium, said to be a rare sanctuary in Avernus, as no fighting or conflict is permitted within its boundaries. And if nothing else happens today, you just might be able to reach it before the next nightfall. So, it's the start of a new day, and you all still have a journey ahead of you. What do you do?
Max is going to whisper over to Adriel. I think we should probably get back to the vehicle right away before Lux gets too itchy.
Oh, yes, I agree. We should.
So, Shada, how's Lux feeling right now after leaving behind the vehicle the other day?
Not fantastic, considering that there are two vehicles left behind, not one. Yeah. So very much kind of, because if I remember, we're on, like, the, we're surrounded by the water, right? It all melted, like, all of the stuff.
All of the snow melted away and disappeared in less than a minute, leaving Avernus just as it was before.
Mm-hmm. So after the little rest that we took, we'll probably Lux will probably be like kind of walking by the edge of the past encampment of the Red Bastard, and just like walking around, just waiting for everybody to like gather so we can finally leave and go back to the vehicles.
I mean, they're hardy vehicles. I'm sure they'll be fine, but Max is not actually sure they will be fine. There was a lot of ice and snow. Who knows what's happened?
Well, there isn't anymore, and that's the thing. Unless anybody really needs anything from here, I think we're good to go, right? We're good to go. Are we good to go? Can we go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea.
All right. So, picking up all of your belongings and breaking camp for the day, you all begin to head back towards Lilith and Lucy. So the walk takes about half an hour, because during the snowstorm, it took you an hour to get from your vehicle to Nikazal's hideout. But at the time, there was a blizzard going on, having all of your movement speed. But comparatively, it only takes about a half hour as you make your way through the canyon, taking the narrow path above the rough, burbling river that's an offshoot of the River Styx. And so once you make your way through the canyon, a trip which takes about 15 minutes, you are back at your vehicle. The Warrig Lilith.
The vehicle,
yeah.
Sorry, the second the vehicles like show up, like even on a horizon, like Lux just like runs, just like doesn't work, just like runs to like, you know, embrace Lilith.
I'm so glad it's okay. I think it's okay. It's in the distance.
Hmm. Yeah. So you arrive
immediately, checking out if everything is okay. Checking out if the thing at the trap they set up at the vehicle as well, if it's not has not been messed with. Checking out the back to make sure that Lucy is also there.
Roll me an investigation check.
I am definitely not happy that you didn't just say like, yes, of course they are there.
Well, I mean, you're actively looking around, so.
For the sake of whoever even attempted to do anything, they better have not.
We got a new quest.
18.
Yeah, you do a thorough once-over of Lilith. The trap that you set up at the ignition is still in place. In addition, the cargo bay is undisturbed with Lucy still in the back. And yeah, it looks as though the vehicle is untouched.
Before going back to the front of the Lilith, first Lux is going to just like check in with Lucy and just like, if when nobody's looking, just going to like leave a little kiss on the skull that's on the front and be like, don't worry, baby, I'm never going to leave you again.
So, yeah, you give Lucy a nice little reassurance and a kiss before heading back to the front with everybody else.
Okay, let's get out of here.
I cast a message into Lux's mind. Ah, yes. I am Lucy. I am your weapon of mass destruction. I love you as well.
Oh, Tina. Make me a deception check, and Lux may either roll for insight or use your passive insight. You'll need to say which one it is before Cheyenne makes his roll.
I'm gonna roll.
I rolled.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Oh, I see. 27.
Okay.
I got plus 8, baby. I got the 19 plus 8.
So you both got 19s on your rolls.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Lux, because they just have such an insanely high insight score. Yeah, okay. So, yeah. It sounds like Patina's messing with you.
She just, like, looks around when...
While Lux is going back to the steering wheel, he's gonna come by and, like, while passing by, Patina is gonna give her a wink and is gonna say... Thanks, Lucy.
She's just like,
you're lucky that you're my favorite.
I you love her so much. I just wanted to give something back.
So, because it's a new day, I believe your rations go down as well as your fuel. So,
you're down to 13 rashes.
13 rations?
13 rations, and then we are down by 8 fuel. 8 days of fuel. Okay.
8 days of fuel. Okay,
I've
good to know.
I've down.
Right.
Great.
Can I... I don't think we ever checked the second bag of holding that Nikazal had, right?
That is correct. You didn't really take a look through it.
Can I, like, when we're at the car, can I turn it inside out to check what's inside?
Sure. Yeah, you turn it inside out, and a whole bunch of moldy-looking cookies fall out.
Oh, no!
Did you have to open it inside of the vehicle?
I didn't see something disgusting would be inside. I like shovel back in. I will put in I will put in the lava.
But you don't need to put them back in the bag. Now they're back in there. Alright.
Alright.
Maybe we should clean the bag.
I dumped whatever is in the bag inside the lava nearby or something.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lava pool nearby, and you just empty them out, and you just hear a bunch of as they fall into the lava, never to be seen again.
Magical cookie? I don't know. No, they're probably not. And who wants this second bag of holding, by the way? Anyone want to claim it? I already have my own. Is this bag of holding bigger than my bag of holding? Maybe it can hold bigger things?
Like, I will say, for the sake of mechanics, that they hold the same amount, but yours is like a handbag, is that correct?
Yeah.
Or something similar?
A Birkin bag. Leopard skin.
Yes, well, this one is roughly the same size as Santa's toy sack in real life, so, it has a wider mouth, so you can put larger things into it.
Okay, I'm thinking a person. I think we can put our gliding packs in this, right?
If you wanted to.
Yeah, if you're all cool with it, we could, that way, because we've all been carrying it by ourselves.
That's a good idea.
We'll put the gliding packs in it so that we're less encumbered.
Anybody want to carry it? I mean, don't mean to be a bitch, but it just doesn't go with my outfit.
Yeah, same.
Full red, Sorcha?
I mean,
Or Max, you want to carry it?
We could put the band equipment in there at some point.
Oh, yes, and you have the instruments, too. I'll give it to Max, then.
Great.
And you can put the magical instruments for the Luchasaurus in it.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. So, taking a little bit of time to get all the instruments and put them in the bag one by one, you now have a cargo bay that's a good bit emptier compared to before.
Nice.
All right, so we head on. Lux,
sure.
I've cleaned it a little bit. The smell should be going away. Don't worry.
Can you, use prestidigitation or something to, make it smell like, letter or something, nice.
I was doing flowers, but yes, sexy leather. Yes, oiled leather. I make it smell like a new car smell.
Okay.
Okay.
Also smells like it's sexy.
Let's go!
Let's go!
So, you start the engine...
Had a bit of a delay, how he is feeling about, making the next little bit of our journey a little bit faster.
Totally fine.
Yeah, I mean, faster, yes. Also, do we sleep at all or have a longer rest at all?
I think we did.
We rested at the Santa's camp, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, I just hadn't put it in. Thank you.
So, starting Lilith's engine... The war rig roars to life, and you, peel out, driving around the canyon and off into the direction of where you need to go. So, I believe you all were headed to the northeast, correct?
Yes, towards the Wandering Emporium, yeah.
Yeah, okay, and I will say, just to save us all a little bit of time and effort otherwise, that... with the infernal compass that you have, as well as all of your group checks, you won't need to worry about, navigation checks going forward. You can pretty much just get to where you need to go.
Sweet!
So, I'll say that with all of your collective expertise, as well as the compass, I mean, it would need to be a cataclysmically bad series of rolls to get yourselves lost.
Yay!
But anyway, so you head off towards the northeast, and as the hours go by, you begin to see something off in the distance. It seems to be a large collection of trees big enough to be called a forest, rounding a curve in a ravine. You all see nearby is a great forest of tall white trees with blood red leaves that extends as far as the eye can see. The branches of these massive trees stretch up towards the sky like the grasping hands of despairing sinners, and around the entrances to the forest, between the trees, you can see thick red vines and moss carpeting the ground, spreading out of the forest like cancerous blood veins. But that said, you do have a destination in mind. It's entirely up to you whether you want to take a detour to stop in here or continue onward.
This was...
Let's leave hell enough alone.
Agreed.
I was not expecting a forest like this in the middle of the desert type place.
Yeah, it... Weirdly enough, it seems to have, like, come up almost out of nowhere. It's not like, you know, it's not like the changes in environment where, you know, a forest sort of naturally comes into existence based on how, you know, lush it is. It's like a straight division between the hell-scorched wastes of Avernus and this lush red and white forest.
What's the temperature? Is it any different, or is it still, like, very hot like the desert?
The air coming out of here, it's very muggy. Like, it seems as though it does have... It's a heat almost like a jungle. Because, you know, all forest needs a degree of moisture to work, but, yeah. Well, I mean, the temperatures of Avernus most often skew towards hot.
Well, everyone, welcome to the jungle.
Very strange.
Can we say goodbye to the jungle now and just keep going?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye for now.
So, marking the location in your minds, you leave this place and continue onward. So, back on the plains of Avernus, it's about midday by this point. But you know that you still have time to make your way towards where you need to go. And the navigation is pretty easy because you actually have a bit of a landmark at this point. Off in the distance, you can see a massive red hill, nearly the size of a mountain. As about an hour passes by and you start to get closer, you see it is a gigantic scab covered in black and red growth growing on the surface of Avernus like some sort of a tumor.
The forest looked nicer.
Mm-hmm. This thing is gross.
Yeah.
And, off in the distance, it takes a little bit of time, but you can see a collection of vehicles that seem to be gathered around what seem to be a number of multicolored tents.
Great, it's Coachella.
Max is going to use Mage Hand to try to pick the scab.
To clarify, you are several miles away from it, and it is the size of a small mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Mage Hand goes out a number of feet from the vehicle and tries to reach towards it, but to no avail.
I just imagine it's like that thing where you like look from far away at a thing in the distance, and you're just like using your hand to like, oh yeah, I'm crushing it. Oh yeah, I'm destroying it.
Exactly.
I'm picking it.
All right.
Before we get closer, what is the plan we have for this adventure in the Emporium? Do we want to buy things there, or what do we want to do?
I want to see if I can buy a hellhound puppy as a gift for Amaryllis.
Excellent idea. This has no chance of going poorly at all.
I know. That was my motivation, but I don't know if anyone else has any other plans.
All right. That was very sweet.
Gwen is giving him the look. You idiot.
Sorcha is also giving him the look.
Adriel staring out the window.
Do you know what? Adriel, do you know? Tell me what do you know about hellhounds?
I know that
they are
puppies,
demons
that come from hell.
Yes.
and they maybe breathe fire. I don't know. I don't know. They're puppies.
I mean, as we know, there is nothing that women love more than to be given a new responsibility that they were not, you know, like asking for. So this is gonna go fantastic.
I know she likes animals. Maybe this will,
you know,
encourage.
Yeah, I will say that with your time with her, Adriel, she does love all animals, but she does adore dogs.
Yes.
Like, she is a tried and true dog person. She would die for the right kind of dog.
Yeah.
And you're convinced that the hellhound is the exact right kind of dog.
Yes, but why
is you know, yes.
A Saint Bernard or something? Something that she's you like, yeah, I know.
Well, I feel like with how dangerous things have gotten, maybe it would be best to get her a pet that could also protect her.
Mm-hmm. Or kill her.
I don't think that would happen.
Alright, you have to train
it. Like, a lot. If we find Hellhound, maybe like a Pomeranian. Maybe then. How about that?
I mean, I don't know what we're going to find, right? I've, to be honest, I've never seen a Hellhound puppy, so. But we'll see.
Alright, and what else is our plan? Anyone else have any ideas for what they want to do here? No one, it's just, we're just here for Adriel. Is this it?
Are we also not going to try to find, like, stuff that we need for, like, the machine?
I don't think this place has any stuff for us. Let me just double check her.
Because we had I know.
Specific plan, but the whole Santa thing really threw me off, to be honest.
Maybe we can get information. Like, I feel like we can probably gather some information here as well, since it's a traveling emporium, right? It travels all around Elturel, so... Mm-hmm.
And what information are we looking for?
Maybe we get more information prepared? About... Like, about... Oh, what's her name? Sariel, and, like, her other... Like, maybe the location of the other
lieutenant. Yeah, so we're looking for Lady Yale and Orthas. We know who Harriman is, and
yeah. Actually, his name is Olanthius.
Olanthius, yes, thank you. We know where Harriman is. He's in Elturel, causing trouble, and
he was. He was there, but he left. He was there. He was the one who murdered the captain. What's his name?
Mavar Donhammer.
Mavar Donhammer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh man, my head still hurts from all the. fighting we did before. Okay. Yeah. So maybe we can get some information. I don't know.
Where would all the shit that we wanted to get from Maggie? Because I'm getting...
The pistons. We have the pistons.
Okay, we have the...
Well, we got given a choice, right?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff we have to get. So... too much. We gotta get the Hearthstones, which is... Hog Troll, Demon Zapper.
Yes.
The Obsidian Sand.
Yeah.
We got the pistons. We've we could also go to if we want to talk to somebody with that information, there's a wizard or there's a relative of Maggie.
I'm just gonna say for the Obsidian Sand, I believe Maggie said that they didn't know how to get it, so maybe
we could find
someone in the Wandering Emporium. Yeah, exactly. Maybe they would know.
That's a good idea. Okay. We will the goal. Find some information about the sand. All right?
Okay.
Awesome. And light shopping. Be very careful. I remember someone saying that this is a dangerous place. No comment.
No, actually.
Really? It's hell.
If I may, you know for a fact, it has been stated multiple times that the Wandering Emporium is a safe place. Fighting is strictly not allowed within its boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't trust that.
Also,
too good to be true.
I distinctly remember that we can get some really good... Did you say grub, Max? Yeah, food. Food here. Mm. Like, food that tastes like food.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
But also, it costs... I don't know if they take gold here. We have 5 soul coins we haven't destroyed yet. So if we are desperate. Just a thought.
I mean...
Or do we want to destroy them now?
Everywhere else has taken gold if we've kind of pressured them.
Yeah.
So let's just destroy these soul coins before we get in, then.
Yeah, all right. Let's save some souls.
All right. And we fully destroy the coins.
Quote unquote save. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we've destroyed these four soul coins then that we have.
Yeah.
Along Please, the way.
Who are these souls?
So, to check, how many soul coins do you have in your inventory?
We had, I think, two from Nikazal. And, two that Max had from before, I think. So, I think that was just four.
That seems right.
Just a moment. Let me check your inventory. I want to make sure that that's correct.
Or maybe it's just two from Nikazal. We just got two from from Nikazal's dead body, I think. Yeah. Okay, so let's head to the Emporium then.
Okay, and you're going to destroy these coins before you go into a marketplace?
Yeah. I think we should keep them. Destroy them. We're destroying them. Yes.
All right. So, you continue to drive, and over the course of a couple of minutes, you rupture a few more soul coins. Some of the souls go up towards the heavens, while a couple others go straight down to the sticks. But nevertheless, you release a few more souls and put them back into the circulation of natural order. And as you continue to drive, you hear a noise. It's something like an overpowering whine, like a massive horsefly or something similar. Just this ambient noise that kind of just reverberates through the air. And I'm going to need everybody here to make a perception check, please.
Okay.
All right.
Oh. A six.
Oh
no.
I got a 14.
We don't know a goddamn thing.
It's an 11.
Oh no.
I'll say. Okay, Sorcha, because you're on the roof, you're the one to notice this.
Nice.
Coming out of the clouds overhead and descending in the same direction as all of you is a massive flying fortress.
Oh, shit.
You heard about them the way that they were discussed, but it is something else entirely to see one in person. It resembles an inverted black pyramid. Like a massive obsidian fang hanging suspended in the air. The deep drone is coming from it, like the sound of some gargantuan wasp that gets louder as it continues to descend from the sky. And you see that it is actually pulling ahead of you and is coming down maybe, a mile ahead to descend towards the ground, still a bit of a distance away from the Emporium.
There's a flying castle.
Yeah, you all look up and you see this too. Like, it is impossible to not see it at this point.
Oh! Is that Zariel's flying ship? I think.
Oh, shit.
Does it look like it's landing at the Emporium, or is it just...
It's still hovering maybe 100 feet above the ground, but, like, you guys are a mile away from it, and you see that there seem to be vehicles dropping out of holes that have opened up in its sides. Like, these things are gliding down on massive sort of leather-bound wings that have unfurled, in order to crash down onto the surface of Avernus with massive plumes of dust kicked up from the impact, and they're all driving forward in the rough direction of the Emporium.
Okay, so they're not going towards us. That's good.
They're going
you
towards...
don't... Yeah. You don't think they've noticed you, given how they're going in the same direction as you, but they're not turning around to go after all of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is
maybe,
that...
maybe they're doing some shopping? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they're...
Everybody make me another perception check.
Oh, boy.
We just need one person to be
basically. Oh, look at there, Cheyenne.
Ooh, 23 for Patty. Yeah.
I know nothing.
Patina, you kind of go up next to Lux at the front of the vehicle and peer through the windshield. And you can see that these things, maybe about like, you are maybe about a minute's drive behind them, but you see that they all seem to be pursuing something. It is a very small figure running away from all of them, maybe slightly larger than a halfling, wrapped up in a brown cloak.
Question, is it Raga Draga again?
You'll have to get closer. But Raga Draga was bigger than that, I'll say that.
We should get him. You know what they say, enemy of our enemy is your friend, right? Or something? We should help them. And can we try to get closer?
If that's up to Lux. Lux is at the driver's wheel.
Can we get closer?
You are
down to get closer, but like attempt to not get noticed for as long as possible.
Do a drift. Yeah. Do a drift.
Okay, so you begin revving the engine and your vehicle picks up, and as you start to get closer, you're enough of a distance away that you can see that the vehicles have caught up to this figure, and you see that the vehicles are circling whoever this is, driving around them in wide plumes, as you can hear laughter coming from these vehicles. And the figure, crouched low on the ground, has been encircled by a pillar of light. And you can see that the vehicles are still circling. They can't seem to do anything, but the figure is crouched low, hands outstretched, and you can see that they're the ones who have cast this spell. Not only that, but Lux, Adriel, you both recognize this is divine magic.
Woo. Divine magic.
Yeah.
All right, let's get him.
Yep.
Let's go.
Make.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go save someone.
So here's my question. You guys are a little bit of a distance off. The vehicle surrounding this person, whoever they are, there are two motorcycles almost identical to Lucy, as well as another type of vehicle, more of sort of a dune buggy. But nevertheless, my question is, how do you want to get this person? For example, are you going to appeal to a stop, grab them, or are you just going to drive through the center of this area and try to grab them and, get them onto your vehicle?
That sounds like a good option.
Yeah, I want to get dragged through, and if... Sorry, the other vehicles are, like... circling around that person?
Yes.
So, driving forward and trying to either get in an open window or in a moment when it's like the motorcycles, so I can like crash through them into the circle to
get to the person. Just a moment. Let me just check something.
Ramming speed.
I'm very pro not stopping.
Okay. So yeah. I'll say that you can aim for one of the motorcycles, Lux, and they'll have to make a dexterity saving throw.
Anybody, okay, whoever can attempt to grab the person, get fucking ready, because I'm going to crash through one of the motorcycles.
Oh, what I can do is, I can send... Oh, sorry. I can
send... How tall is the car?
Sorry, Charlie, what was your question?
How tall is our car?
Pretty tall. Like, definitely bigger than a motorcycle. You guys, like, I'll say that where you are, Sorcha, you're maybe 15 to 20 feet off the ground.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have an idea. I will face step Max. When we get 30 feet within the creature, I will face step Max into the center. And Max, you can thunderstep on back on top of the vehicle.
Ooh. I like that.
Now that's genius. A plan.
That's a plan.
Yeah. Okay. And you can, yeah, so you get this ready. Lulu is watching with anticipation, a nervous expression creasing her features as you, Lux, put the pedal to the metal. And Lilith roars forward through the clearing. And as you begin to pass by, you see that the small figure has turned to look at all of you. Patina, you clap Max on the back. Max, whoom! Teleports down next to this figure. The figure whirls around looking up at you, Max, and in this split second you can see that this person is a little human girl who can't be more than 10 years old.
Oh, don't be afraid. We're here to help you.
Okay.
Also, we're here to magically biff you over to that car there now, which we're going to do. All right?
And before she can respond, you grab her, and with a thunderclap, you teleport back to the vehicle, and you, Max, land on top just as Lilith is going to roar directly at one of the motorcycles. So let me just check. Now, the motorcycle is making a saving throw. Okay. Yeah, this thing is fast, and it, wheels about, screeching out of the way as you just drive through the space where it was a moment ago, Lux. But nevertheless, you continue forward, and behind all of you, you can hear the devils shouting orders at each other, and the vehicles are roaring to life and are beginning to chase after you. Now...
Alright, let's go!
And now... We're about to do a form of combat that has never been done before.
Oh, boy.
So.
Vehicle combat!
Woo! Oh, here we are. My gosh.
So, Max, you are on the roof of the vehicle with this little girl.
Yep.
On either side of you, one of the motorcycles has reared up. And it is on your right-hand side with a spine devil gunning the throttle. On your left-hand side, you can see one of these dune buggies piloted by a bearded devil with another bearded devil. And, I believe that those types of devils are called Maragons that you haven't seen since El Terrell. But nevertheless, they're on the back of their vehicle. And it seems to be equipped with a bolt thrower identical to the one that you're using, Sorcha. Nevertheless, and behind them is another motorcycle with another spine devil on it. And behind you, you see that the fortress is still hovering, but more vehicles are beginning to drop down and impact the earth behind all of you.
Terrific.
Shit.
Ahead of you, you see the Wandering Emporium.
Should we head there? No, I'm just joking.
If you're not sure how long it will take... Maybe a minute, maybe less. But nevertheless, I'm going to ask everybody to roll for initiative.
We have to head to the Emporium. It's the only safe space.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
So, before we get into combat, there are going to be a couple of rules that I would like you all to know about. First off, there is one other individual in this scene who has their own hit points, and that's Lilith. So,
hey, baby!
Vehicles do have hit points of their own, but they also have two stats called a damage threshold and a mishap threshold. The damage threshold for your vehicle is 20, meaning that if an attack does less than 20 points of damage, it takes no damage. But conversely, if it takes more than 20 points of damage, it receives the full damage as a result. So it's an all or nothing kind of thing.
That's 20 for Lilith, right?
Yes. So, just a moment.
Does it mean that the same goes for their vehicles as well?
Yes, the same goes for their vehicles. They have their own hit points, damage thresholds, but there's also the mishap threshold. Your damage threshold is actually 10. The mishap threshold is 20. If you take more than 20 points of damage, something bad's gonna happen.
Oh no.
But that applies for their vehicles as well. In All addition, right. Lux, you are the driver, and you're going to have additional things you can do on your turns, which I'm actually going to get to you about, because you're going to start us off in combat. So, Lux, I've reviewed the rules, and I've decided that in order to move this vehicle, like, to continue driving and steering is going to take a move action. You can still do a standard action on your turn, but if you do both of these things, you will have disadvantage on all rolls involved because you're trying to do two things at the same time and you're distracted. So, this means that if hazards come up in the road ahead of you, if you try to make any saving throws to avoid them with the vehicle, you're going to roll with disadvantage. So the question is, do you want to try and do two things at the same time to try and, like, cast spells at these things while also piloting the vehicle, or do you want to concentrate entirely on your driving and just make sure you can avoid everything that comes up?
If we didn't have a fucking child in the car, I would just fuck them up.
Mm.
There is a stupid fucking child in the car, so I'm gonna focus on the road and just, like, call out to everybody else, like, I'm gonna get us to safety, but you all fuck shit up. And just gonna focus on driving.
Okay, so you continue gunning the pedal, and you are kicking up dirt as all around you, these three vehicles are pulling up with the bearded devils shouting orders at each other, come on, let's get them! And so, yeah, it looks like you are in a full-on car chase. So, Patina, it goes to you. Another thing you should all keep in mind is, because you're in a moving vehicle, all of your movement speed, this counts as difficult terrain. So the only person who can move at full speed right now is Adriel, because Adriel, you have that breastplate from last session that gives you it cancels out any difficult terrain for you.
Yep.
So anyway, Patina, it goes to you.
Okay, I have a weird question then. If Lux is can't do anything on their, like, I'm just, like, yeah, so they have to use their full action to do movement on the car. If I cast haste on them, can they still do something on their turn and stuff?
Let me just check. Could you read me haste, please?
Absolutely. And it gives them double movement, so I don't know if that does anything.
Until the spell ends, the target's speed is doubled. Yes. Okay.
I'll read it out. I'm so sorry. Just gotta pull it up.
It's okay. I've got it in front of me.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
So yes, you could use it for one person to cancel out any reduced movement they might have.
Okay, yeah.
And that would also, because haste gives me additional action, so I could use that action to drive the car and then use my own action to attack?
Would that work, Chris?
I will say that haste also grants an additional action. Like, Patina, casting haste on Lux will not suddenly make the car go faster.
Oh, wouldn't get into her car very fast. But it would let Lux do
but
an
action. But I would just get my own action other than the action of driving the car, right?
I will say that with haste, Lux, you could concentrate fully on driving, but also have an additional action to be able to cast a spell.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
I will do that. I'm gonna... Who else wants haste? I can do it on one else, other person. Then I'll cast haste on Max. So I'm gonna twin spell it, and
okay. I will say that because the hatch at the back leading to the roof is open, you can see Max up there. So yeah, that works.
I'm so sorry. I'm so indecisive. I'm going to, I'll twin spell it and cast haste on Max as well. Yes.
Okay. So. Max, you are immediately hasted, and who else did you want to cast it on, Patina?
So, yeah, twin spelling it on Lux, and
thank you.
So I blow a kiss to Lux, like, you got this, Max. You both are lovely. Oh, okay. I believe in you.
There's a little kiss mark slapped on your face.
Okay, so
I feel
Lux,
30 years younger.
Matt, the both of you suddenly feel speed overtake your bodies as you are moving through the time stream faster than you were before. And then, after Patina, it's going to be the Maragon's turns. So, as the vehicle, or the Maragon is going to load up a heavy crossbow, and they are going to aim through the window at Patina. Ooh. So, because they see a spellcaster. All right, the bolt goes wide. But yeah, Patina, you see that the bolt whizzes and suddenly bounces off the side of Lilith as, the Maragon wordlessly sees that his attack has failed and it is reloading another bolt.
Then, hey, don't do that. This is terrible. No.
And Gwendolyn, it is your turn.
Okay. I'm just seeing one thing.
Sure.
I just kind of want to make sure of properties here. So, like, are they circling us?
No. You all are moving in a straight line towards the same destination.
Okay. I wanted to be sure of that.
Yes.
I think I'm going to try to cast Mold Earth. I'm just trying to make sure that might be useful. You appreciate.
A target of area of loose earth. The range on that is 30 feet, and you can target a 5-foot area.
Yes.
So you can instantaneously excavate it, move it along the ground, and deposit it up to 5 feet away.
I'm gonna make it like a big old like hole for them to fall into.
Okay.
Nice.
Tell you what, I'm gonna say that this is going to force the driver to make a dexterity saving throw to avoid this. Which enemy are you going to target?
We'll go with that one.
Okay.
Because I'm, like, there at the window.
Great. So, the DC for this is going to be 14, which is the saves for your other monk abilities. So.
Nice.
Okay. That is a 15. So, Gwendolyn, you reach out the window, point at the ground in front of the motorcycle, and it instantly, like Earth parts, creating a 5-foot-deep pit. And the devil, seeing this, just yelps and, drives to one side, narrowly avoiding falling into it. Because if they had fallen in, you would have taken them out of whatever is going on here.
Little bastard.
Yeah, seems like it.
I don't really... Yeah, okay. I don't really know what else I could do. Yeah, no, there's not really anything else I can do right now.
Okay.
So...
You have the water whip as a bonus action, right?
Oh, I do have a water whip as a bonus action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can try that.
You can try to... Are you going to target... Yeah, I will say that the motorcycle looks decently heavy, but the Spine Devil riding it does look to be a little more like a target.
Yes, so I will aim specifically for him.
Okay, the helm does grant half cover. So let me just check half cover.
Oh, I think that's +2 to AC.
Okay. So, Gwendolyn, does this ability require an attack roll or a saving throw?
I think it's dex save.
Yeah, dex save.
Okay, then I will say, yes, a target with half cover has a +2 bonus to dexterity saving throws. So, okay, what is the DC for this? 14?
14, yeah.
Great. That is a nat 1.
Oh, yeah.
So, Gwendolyn, this thing then pulls around back beside you, and the Spine Devil's just... and just shaking its fist at you. But then, Gwendolyn, you lash out with your water whip, completely get it around his waist, and he's just... and then suddenly you yank him towards you, leaving the motorcycle beside it to wobble, 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 then suddenly go boom, 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 and come to a rolling stop as, yeah, it goes up in a fireball.
See ya.
Okay. And, Gwendolyn, so how much damage do you deal to this little guy? 9 points of damage.
Yeah.
Great, okay. So, with that, then, is that going to be it for your turn?
Yes.
Great, okay. So then it's going to go, to the Spine Devils, actually. So the one still on the motorcycle is going to veer towards you guys and is going to throw some spines at all of you, so... There we go. Sorry, the music's the music player in this site can be a bit funny, as you all know. So the one on the motorcycle is going to throw spines up at Max.
Thankfully, I have my extra dexterity now.
Mm-hmm.
+2. And
+2 bonus to AC and an advantage on dexterity saving throws.
Excellent. And what is your AC total, Max?
So right now, that would be 18.
So, one of these spines is going to hit.
All right.
So, you take a total of 5 points of damage as a flaming spine hits you directly in the shoulder.
All right. It's okay. It's not my plucking shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the one that was water whipped by you, Gwendolyn, it has grabbed onto like the frame of the window with one hand and is going to jab in with its, small trident at you and also try to bite you. So this is going to be two attacks.
Oh my god!
Okay, one of those is going to be a hit, as you are at point blank range against it, Gwendolyn, and you take 5 points of piercing damage as it jabbed you with its trident.
Huh.
And then, it's going to be Lulu's turn. And, Lulu, looking anxiously at you, Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to help you?
No, it should be good, Lulu.
Okay, what do you think I should do? Like, I can do trumpets and stuff, but you guys keep telling me that I can't go into danger.
Can Lulu do anything, like super ranged?
No, she has to get up close. Like, she can do her, trumpeting cones, but those involve, positioning herself that makes her a target.
Try to aid Lux, then. Anything you can do to give them, advantages.
Let me think. Okay, maybe I can be a spotter, maybe? Okay,
and so they're going to use the... Yeah, Lulu uses the disengage action to get away from the Flying Devil. She flies up to the front cockpit and perches on the dashboard next to you, Lux, and... Yeah, for their action, they're going to... they use disengage and a movement to be able to get up there. So next turn, they will start to give you the help action. Adriel, it's your turn.
All right. This guy is in range for me to attack him physically, right? With my
sword? That is correct.
I will deal him a smite.
Okay. This is your normal divine smite? Or are you using a spell to cast a different kind of smite?
You know what? I will use the Thunderous Smite.
To knock it away from her. That's smart. Okay. Make me an attack roll, please. Two of them. All right. Because you're attacking twice.
Yeah. Okay, here comes the...
All right. So those are the first two that I'll use. Okay, so the first one, actually the first one does hit. So roll me 2d6 +4 and your damage for a Thunderous Smite, please.
Okay.
Nice. Okay, so readying a smite along your blade, you awkwardly shift about in your seat, aim the blast that you have, and you thrust forward. There is a boom as the sonic energy at the tip of your sword pierces into this thing. It is sent flying back how many feet exactly?
I think 10 feet.
10 feet, okay. Yeah. So it is sent flying as it spins end over end into the air, wings still flapping to keep it aloft, but it looks to have taken some heavy damage from that attack just now.
Awesome.
Okay, Max, it's your turn.
Right. Well, yeah. I think, given that they're on cars and that those things seem like they are a bit ricky, I'm going to do a shatter to try to hit the motorcycle and the car beside us.
Okay. Because physical objects, yeah, they roll with disadvantage against damage, right?
It's, okay. They can be hit. It's, any non-magical object that isn't being worn or carried also takes the damage.
Okay.
And inorganic, it's creatures that are of inorganic material that have disadvantage.
Okay. So are you going to cast it on this one here?
It depends on if cars count as, count as a creature.
They do not. Basically, they are inanimate objects. They take, they roll with disadvantage on their saving throws.
All right. I guess I'm going to be hitting that car. I don't think I can hit them both.
Okay.
Not fully.
Well, what is the range on your shatter
ability? It's a 60-foot range to hit 10-foot... D&D Beyond shows me 10-foot. Here is a shape.
Does it say radius or diameter?
There we go, radius. There we go.
Okay, so it is... Just a moment. This big, then. So you could cover that area.
Yeah, I'll just flat out hit the big car.
Okay, I'll great. Try. So...
Fourth level shatter.
Fourth level. Okay, so they are all going to make some saving throws. What is the... that deals... Okay, so I'm going to...
Get your Moroni. I'm strumming on the guitar. Get out on the highway. Looking for
okay.
Whatever comes our way. Right.
Okay.
So 15 saving throw constitution.
15?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes. Okay, so the Bearded Devils made their saves, but the car and the Maragon didn't, so they're going to take full damage.
All right. So I'm rolling 5d8. So fingers crossed it's enough. Oh, I actually have 5d8. All right. Thanks to all the wonderful gifts. Oh, no. Wait, I'm going to use one of my things. I can re-roll one of my ones.
Yes.
My empowered spell.
Ooh, nice.
So the car needs to get a 20 in order to take damage, right?
More than 10 to take damage.
Oh, okay, good, because I rolled 19.
Okay, so it takes 9 points of damage. Okay, not enough for the mishap threshold, but enough to deal it damage. So, 19 you said?
Yep.
Great. So, there is a... Boom! As this vehicle is suddenly rocked with sonic energy, it continues on regardless. But, everything else is going to take some damage. Okay, and the Bearded Devils and the Maragon have clapped their hands to their heads momentarily as they're looking a bit dazed from that.
And then I'm going to, with a final strum, turn to the little girl and wink. Okay. And possibly... poor move. Give it her bardic inspiration.
Okay, great. So, she looks back at you and she simply says, I'm in your debt. And then we're going to go to Sorcha's turn.
Hell yeah. All right. So, it's time.
Oh, wait, sorry. Sorry.
You have one action.
I have haste.
Yeah.
So I have a second action.
Mm-hmm. Apologies, Charlie. Nice.
Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I can't use it to do a spell, so I guess I'm going to quickly pull my my hand crossbow out of my pocket and shoot it at the one on the motorcycle nearby.
Okay, you can use a cantrip if you'd like.
I feel like trying with a hand crossbow.
Okay, make me a ranged attack roll, please.
That is a 10.
Okay. So, you fire your crossbow bolt, but because of the high winds and the high speed of these vehicles, it just zooms past the Spine Devil and disappears behind you.
That is why I don't use my crossbow much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now it's your turn, Sorcha.
Bye. Okay, so, guess who's got ranged spells?
Is it you?
Yeah.
It's me!
Woo!
All right. Okay, so I'm going to cast Cone of Cold for the first time.
Awesome! So what is the range on that?
It is 60 feet.
Okay.
Oh my God. Yes. So it is a 60-foot cone. Oh. So I should be able to get all of the guys in the car. I don't know if I can get the motorcycle guy as well.
Let me just grab you a cone. Super, super quick.
Thanks.
So, 60 feet. That is 15, 30.
Oh my god.
45.
Oh my gosh. Keeps getting bigger.
Yeah. There you go. So, I'm gonna aim it for you, Sorcha, and you let me know when you found it as you'd like it.
If it can hit the motorcycle guy as well, that would be amazing.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Guess what's amazing?
Nice.
Okay. So, Sorcha, you inhale the air around you turning cold. And like frost begins to form on the roof of the vehicle as you fill your lungs up and then you just unleash a torrent of a blizzard out in front of you, the heart of Agathys worn around your neck, glowing with power. And so, let me just check a cone of cold.
It's a constitution saving throw.
Yes, thank you. Why don't you roll me damage for that while I make saves for all these guys down here?
Perfect. That would be 8d6.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, that's correct.
Is it 86?
Okay, that is failures for everybody involved, so they're going to take full damage.
All right, that's 40 points of damage.
Wow!
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Suddenly, okay, that is more than enough for me to roll in plain view on the mishap table for the vehicle. So, how this works is, if it's anywhere between... I'm going to roll a 1d20. 11 to 20, nothing happens. If it's below, if it's 10 or below, something's going to happen. That's not good for whoever's inside the vehicle. Ooh, that's a 7.
Oh, no. Yes.
Okay. So, all right. So what happens, Sorcha, is the Spine Devil and the motorcycle it's riding, both of them just... immediately freeze over and crash, skidding to a halt as, the motorcycle just spins along an icy patch of ground while the Spine Devil just rolls almost like a snowball, but because it's frozen solid, pieces of it are breaking off and shattering until it's like a red slush ball that's painting the ground. Meanwhile,
yes.
Over here...
Sergio looks a little shocked.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, wicked. All of the devils here are going to take 40 points of cold damage, and as this vehicle is now suddenly covered with ice on a number of different surfaces, you can see that, you hear a and then suddenly as something gives in the engine... flames are coming out of it with a huge cloud of smoke, and it's starting to slow down.
Oh, God.
All right, gun it. Let's go.
Okay.
By the way, Charlie, it's 8d8, but you don't. That's for next time. Don't worry.
Oh, my God. It's, so you think it could have been more?
It could have been, but you did great. You rolled really well. You got a lot of sixes, so I was like, that's...
Okay. Now it's going to be the bearded devil's turns. First off, the one manning the bolt thrower, after enduring that, Sorcha, is gonna aim at you because holy shit! Okay, and fails. The bolt goes way over your shoulder, like, because of the frost, like, its eyes are covered in ice, so it can't see as it's aiming this thing. But the driver, on the other hand, is going to move the vehicle. Because both of your vehicles would normally go at the same speed of 100 feet per round, but because it is slowed, it's going to start falling back, but it's still going to try and get close enough to 3, 4, 5, 6 over here. And as it does so, there are spikes covering this thing's wheels that begin, as it gets close to Lilith, begin to just rip into the side of the vehicle, just spinning madly like a whole bunch of buzzsaws. So, Lux, could you please roll me a dexterity saving throw? So roll me, you're using the stats of Lilith. So roll me a d20 and add... Just a moment. Okay. Cool. So you can add 4 to a d20.
Does Lux get advantage on dex saves, or it's because of haste, or is it just
regular? No. The haste makes sure that they can have it with no disadvantage.
It doesn't matter, though, because I rolled a 19, so it's going to be like a 23.
Nice.
Okay. So you see this coming, Lux, and you steer the vehicle out of the way, so you are able to avoid this damage entirely.
Nice.
Okay. And then it's going to go to the little girl's turn. Looking past you, Max, she levels her hand down at this vehicle, and she is just going to loose. Yeah, she's going to cast Guiding Bolt. So, her hand begins to glow with silvery light, and suddenly...
I was not expecting a little girl to do this.
Yeah, you are surprised, as her face is like steel as she levels her hand, and suddenly, okay, for 19 points of damage, a bolt of light comes out of her hand, and suddenly, boom! The vehicle here suddenly explodes into a massive burning fireball as you hear screams from inside, and it just rolls along the ground and out of sight. As you leave behind the burning wreckage in the dust. And she just pants for a moment before, and she steps past you, Max, and begins going towards this hatch here and climbs down the ladder to get into the same room as everyone else. So you all look behind you and you see that this little girl has climbed into the bay with you.
Little girl, you shouldn't be here. It's dangerous.
I know it's dangerous. And then she looks at you. She peers at you, Adriel. And Adriel... You suddenly feel a strange sensation. You've only felt it once before. Back in El Terrell, in High Hall, when all of you cast the ritual to try and break the connection of Older Ravengard, when all of you had your vision and you seemed to have like this divine connection with someone who claimed you all worthy, the feeling that you felt then, connected to Lux and to Celeste, you feel coming from her. And she looks back at you, Adriel, and she just says, well, I guess my day's looking up after all. I found you.
And hello. Then... Come take a seat, little girl.
And now, at the end of the round, I am going to... roll something else to see if any hazards come up in the road ahead. So, let's see here. I'm going to roll on the d20, like the mishaps. Yeah, you're going to want high, not low.
High rolls.
Oh no.
Okay.
Five.
Oops. So, up ahead, you see enormous pillars of rock that are dotting the landscape in front of you. Lux, make me a dexterity saving throw, please.
Is it mine, or it's the plus four, right? The vehicle.
Yes. So roll me a d20 and add four to the result.
Okay. 18.
Awesome. So the pillars are suddenly on either side of you as all of you hear two crashes hit the ground. And suddenly, there are two more of those vehicles hitting the ground on either side of you. But they are currently blocked from all of you by a whole bunch of pillars. Or they grant all of you three quarters cover. They still might be able to get in here and do some damage when they have the chance. But similarly, they also have three quarters cover from you. So, Lux, it is your turn.
Ugh. Damn it, the cover is trying me into... what do I do? Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just trying to think what to do with the cover.
A three-quarter cover is a plus five to their AC, so...
Also to dex saving throws.
I mean, fuck it, I'm just gonna... I mean, again, using my action to continue driving and my hasted action, I'm just gonna shoot a guiding bolt at the one with more of the bastards on them.
Okay, are you going to aim at the vehicle or at the devils?
I am aiming at the vehicle.
Okay. So, Lux, you aim past Lulu and Adriel, and you fire a guiding bolt. Make me an attack roll, please.
Okay, fingers fucking crossed.
Yeah.
That's a natural 20.
Oh, yes!
Let's go! Get me some damage, please.
Doubled. Juicy.
Oh. Lex is rolling real well now that the vehicle is
21. Okay, so 21 times 2.
okay.
42.
Math, I don't know. 42.
42 points of damage against the vehicle. So it is absolutely going to roll on the mishap table for this.
Nice.
So. Also, I was slightly wrong. As it turns out, any result on the mishap table is bad. But the higher the number, the worse it is. Yeah, I mixed up the D20 rule with the chase complication table, which it refers to the pillars that you had. So, all right. So you fire at the wheel of this thing, Lux, and it hits the wheel. And suddenly, as the vehicle lurches, smoke suddenly coming up, you can see that the wheel is just... Yeah, it is rattling uncontrollably, like you've damaged the axle. And as a result, all of the devils inside are vibrating like... And as a result, the vehicle has disadvantage on all dexterity checks, and all ability checks and attack rolls made by creatures on or inside the vehicle have disadvantage.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, we are then... Is that it for your turn?
Yeah, I don't really have anything else, right? Yeah.
No. I believe so. Okay, Patina, it's your turn.
This one's still... they're still on it, right?
That is correct, yes.
I'm good, yeah, I'm just gonna... Good old fire of acid ball. Just
go ahead,
spice.
Please.
Be like, oh, it gets out of the way. And that's a 16 dex. I'm just going to do some damage.
Wait, which one are you hitting?
And the one that you hit.
So advantage, right?
Oh, no, but then since it's a fireball, it's a dex save.
Sorry.
So the it's still sparkling. And that's 24 plus 5. For my acid damage. And then
okay.
So that's 29.
Oh my god. So, Patina, you loose an acid ball through the window, and suddenly there is another explosion as, within moments of this thing appearing, Lux, you've hit it with a bolt, Patina, with an acid ball, and suddenly it is another boom! Like another fireballing wreck that peters out behind all of you.
Yes.
So, wow.
Hell yes!
And then woo! I'm going to be naughty. I'm going to activate my Fae Rune. My Fae Shard.
And okay, you're going to roll on the wild magic table?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So spicy. What? I'm going to be spice.
Hot, hot, hot.
Oh, did you roll?
Okay. I have two rolls here.
Oh, sorry.
So that's 88?
88 is the first one, and cool. 88 is... What is it? 88 is... Oh, you cast Fly on that creature.
On whom?
On a random creature. Oh, shoot.
What is the range on that?
It's 60 feet. So,
oh, let me just see how many combatants there are here. Oh, 1, no. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9... 10, 11, 12. Roll me a
d12. A d12, okay. Rolling a d12.
Ooh, could Lilith fly? No, I guess not.
Sorry, if it's a random creature, wouldn't that include us as well?
Yeah, that includes.
Yep. There are 12 of you all together.
6, 7, 8. Oh, shit.
Okay. All right, so suddenly the driver of this vehicle to the south, the bearded devil in the helm, suddenly, teal sparks surround him for a moment, and he just begins to slowly lift out of his seat, and he's just, what the hell? And he's a bit surprised, but nevertheless, he's still behind the wheel of this thing.
Poopy butt. Ah! But I'm like, don't you want to stop fighting us? Wink, wink. I'm so cute.
Okay. Now the spine devils are going to take their turn in response to your question. Unless you'd like to do anything else?
That's it. I'm being like, I'm so cute. You don't want to fight us.
Okay, so the spine devil here that was flying through the air ducks between the pillars, latches onto the side of the vehicle, and he is going to throw two spines, one at Max, one at Sorcha. So, let's see.
Hit me with your best shot.
Okay.
Don't hit.
Miss.
Max, because your AC is 18. Both of these spines just hurtle past the both of you to no effect, while the one on the back here is manning sort of like the gunnery station, so to speak. And so as a result of that, he is going to fire a... Actually, this isn't... Right, I remember now. This isn't a harpoon. This is something else. It has a face like a devil opening its mouth wide, and it aims at the front of this cockpit here. Yeah. And...
This seems fine.
I am going to need...
Is this a spell? This is not a spell, right?
Lux, I'm going to need... everybody here to make me a DC 15 dexterity saving throw, but because you're in the cockpit, I believe you have... Let me just check the type of cover.
Also, are people getting aura from Aria?
Who's getting... Yes, everybody... Yeah, everybody makes it with a +3 bonus.
And do we have... Are we not also covered by the stone pillars that we're dodging around?
Okay, so... Alright, so let me just check how much 3/4 cover grants you.
It's a +5. Okay.
+5 bonus. So basically, all of you making this dexterity saving throw are doing so with a +8 bonus.
Ooh.
Cool.
But the only if we're... All right. Oh yeah, because we're all close to H on this.
+8.
Ooh.
Okay.
Is this everyone in the car? Or just
everybody in this front cabin here.
Okay.
All right. So I'm gonna use lucky to re-roll what I rolled.
Oh no, but you're not,
Max, you don't have to roll.
You're in the cabin. You're not in the cabin.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't have to. Oh, sorry. Okay, cool.
Nat 20.
Bad bad boy.
Hopefully Lulu's okay.
Okay. So everybody only takes 10 points of fire damage as suddenly this thing that's mounted on the back here issues a line of fire like a drill that screams forward and engulfs everyone. So, okay.
I'll roll a concentration check.
Yes, please do.
I saved. I'm good.
Good, okay. And Gwendolyn, you have an option here. If you'd like, you can use your reaction to use your deflect missiles ability because this counts as a ranged energy attack.
You know what? I think I will.
Okay, go ahead and roll to reduce damage, please.
What am I rolling for that? Sorry?
What does your deflect missiles ability say?
Hit is plus two. D6 plus five.
Okay, go ahead. So, okay. So they still took 4 points of damage, but they were able to negate 6 of that. Okay, so Gwen, as this fire is coming towards all of you, you bring your hand up, and as if bouncing off of an invisible shield, the fire goes past you and out the other side of the window, but you still take some burning damage from that.
Okay.
And then it is going to be the Maragon's turn. So, the Maragon over here is going to use an attachment on the vehicle, and suddenly there is a noise like a winding mechanism and a catapult as this thing is suddenly launched through the air, arms pinwheeling around its body, as with a heavy thud, it lands on the roof directly next to you, Max, and it is going to make some attacks against you.
Oh, darn.
That is one hit. All right, you take 10 points of slashing damage as it brings down its halberd on you. And then it's going to be Lulu's turn. So Lulu, keeping her eyes on the road ahead, is going to start to make the help action. So Lux, you are going to have... yes, advantage on your next driving check. So she's just peering out the window anxiously, steer a little bit to the left there. Yeah, we got a pillar coming up. Okay, careful, careful. And so then it's going to go to Adriel's turn.
Okay. This guy is up on the roof, this guy?
Yes. This Spine Devil is clinging to the side of the vehicle, and this Maragon is on top of the roof.
Can I get to this guy?
Yes. So let me just move you. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And yeah, you can basically be on top of the roof, below the little girl as you quickly push her to one side gently and then, scale up the ladder. Stand directly on top of the hatch and you can attack this guy right here.
Alrighty. I will attack him with a branding smite.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Okay.
So you activate Branding Smite, and then you make your attacks.
Yeah.
Okay, now... one of the Branding Smite attack is going to hit. Roll me 2d6 plus 4, then the damage for Branding Smite.
Yeah.
Ooh!
Nice.
Go, Adriel, go!
Okay, and then one more 2d6, okay. Second, I'm just gonna make sure I'm reading this correctly. Yeah, okay. Okay. There you go.
Okay, thank you. So that's 17 points of damage total. Yep. Awesome. So Adriel, you cleave down with your sword as it glows with holy energy, and this thing is struck by a full-on branding smite. So, just a moment. Very. You deal an extra 2d6 radiant damage, so you can roll an additional one.
Oops. Okay.
Okay, great. So, with that, you deal a lot of damage to this thing, and now it is glowing light as it cannot become invisible until the end of its turn. Until your spell ends.
Mm-hmm.
Then, okay. Is that going to be it for your turn, Adriel?
Yeah, that's going to be it.
Okay, Max, it's your turn.
Right. So now there's a fellow standing right in front of me here. It's not good. I was going to go into the car, but then everyone seemed to get blasted by something, so that's also not a... It seems like a poor idea.
Hmm.
You're also hasted, so you could take an action to disengage if you want.
Hmm.
And you have
this
an action.
This is true.
Sorry. Don't mind me.
You know what? I'm just going to try to dissonant whispers blast this fellow right in front of us, right in the face.
Okay.
So that's...
Wisdom saving throw?
Yep, 15 wisdom saving throw.
Okay. That is a failure. Go right ahead.
Right. That is... Ooh, big numbers. 14 points of damage as I really mess with the strums on this guitar here.
Okay, so you begin playing your guitar and all kinds of awful, terrible noises begin ripping into this thing's mind. And as it wordlessly clutches at its own head, so that is how much?
That is 14 points of damage.
14, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, all right, very nice.
So, and with my second action, just because it's fun.
Yeah.
While I'm playing the guitar straightly at his face, I'll just give him a little face jab. And I'll try to attack him with the guitar itself, with the apocalypse guitar.
Okay.
That's my hasted attack.
Okay, go ahead, please.
All right. So I was going to plus 3 to hit, I think. Melee attack.
So this is Dissonant Whispers, right?
Oh, no, so I did Dissonant Whispers, and now I'm doing a melee attack.
But one of the things about Dissonant Whispers is it must immediately use its reaction to move as far as its speed allows away from you.
Ah.
So it is going to race along the roof of the vehicle. As it does so, you get an I will say that this is going to be... you can make an opportunity attack against this thing.
All right. So it's 19 to hit.
Okay, that is a hit. Roll me damage, please.
I think it's just 1d6. It's 6.
Okay. How much?
6.
A full 6?
I rolled 6.
Okay, so something very interesting is going to happen. You then bring up Armageddon, and it just whispers into your mind, "Yes, do it, master! Let us break a bitch!" And with that, you bring it down on this thing's back, and suddenly there is the smashing of metal, the twanging of guitar thing strings, as you fully break Armageddon over the back of this thing's head. And you look down at the ruined guitar, but then suddenly the pieces, which were flying everywhere, suddenly reform, and its eyes are glowing. Absolutely bitchin', master.
Metal. And wooden stuff, but mostly metal.
Nice. Okay. And then it's going to continue running, and Adriel, now you get opportunity attacks against it.
Sweet. I will do so.
Go ahead, please.
This is where Chris feels like Oprah. You get an opportunity attack. You get an opportunity attack.
It's 1d20, right?
Mm-hmm.
No pluses, right?
No, you add your attack modifier to this.
Oh, okay. So plus 7, okay. Okay.
Okay, that is a hit. Roaming damage. 2d6 plus 4.
Alright. 2d6 plus 4.
You can reroll that one because it's your weapon attack. Nice.
12 points of damage. Okay. So both of you attack this thing as it is fleeing away from Max. And then... So after that, it's then going to go to Sorcha's turn.
Sorry. I'm also going to just scream, Hyena Power! To give Sorcha some bardic inspiration.
Awesome.
Iconic.
If I may remind you, Sorcha, you do have a point of inspiration that lasts until the end of the session, and we are finishing up soon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. How close is this guy who's, like... Yeah, like...
You can... Yeah, you can move to the side of the vehicle, like... You can step over here carefully and, attack him as he's clinging to the side of the vehicle.
All right, I'm gonna do that.
Okay. So you grab onto the side of the railing... Hoist yourself down so, like, it's a rounded side of this thing, but you're still, like, on it. And with your free hand, you've got your sword and are getting ready to swing down at this guy. So make me some attack rolls, please.
All right. Okay. Let me pull up my numbers.
Okay, that's an awesome roll for the first one. You can use your inspiration to re-roll the second.
I will.
17. Both of those are going to hit. Roll me damage, please.
Sick. Okay, cool.
Okay. Now for the second attack.
All right. Okay.
With the first swing of your sword, you slice into this devil, hacking into his shoulder. He lets out a shrill screech before you swing again, and this time you completely cut him in half. His wings, his arms, and his torso rolling off the side of the vehicle and disappearing.
All right. Let's go, guys!
Okay. And now it's going to be the little girl's turn. So she is going to concentrate and then slowly open her eyes as they glow pure white. And an aura is going to spread out around her as she casts Spirit Guardians. So, this is going to be... a 15-foot radius. So, all of you are surrounded by what seem to be tiny, pure white little birds that are flitting through the air, like small sparrows flying in and out of the vehicle, surrounding all of you, as she's created a zone of protection, or a zone that devils cannot enter without taking damage. So, the Maragon is immediately going to make a saving throw. It is going to... fail, I believe. And then it is going to take 13 points of radiant damage as suddenly sparrows are arrowing around and flying through him like tiny little bullets, creating multiple puncture wounds on its body.
Ooh. Damn.
And then at the end of combat, I'm going to roll a complication check. Okay. Suddenly, as you all clear the area with the pillars, suddenly you hear a massive roar as a large shape on a nearby hillside seems to have noticed all of you, and what seems to be a massive beast with the body of a lion, the wings of a massive bat, and the face of a person begins flying alongside the vehicle, letting out a shrieking roar as a chimera has now joined the battle. Or a manticore, I apologize.
Oh, no.
And I'm just quickly grabbing the token here.
Hello, beautiful chimera! Would you like to be friends?
Does anyone know animal handling?
Oh,
I've handled a few animals.
+3.
Oh my gosh, terrifying.
Yeah, there we go. So yeah, yeah, it's flying through the air right about here. And for context, like, that is what it... Just a moment. So yeah, this is now flying beside all of you.
Oh, oh, beautiful! Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
that.
That
is a forbidden boop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the most forbidden of boops. And...
Like a cat.
There is another massive thud from your right. Oh. As the biggest vehicle you've seen yet crashes down alongside all of you.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Two harpoon flingers, and at the back of the vehicle, you see that a bearded devil has manned a station where something like a crane rears up, but on the end is a massive iron ball on the end of a chain that just begins to spin around at top speed.
Oh, no.
And as all of you look up towards the fortress overhead still looming, you can see a shape leap off of the docks up there and is beginning to descend as it's holding out a pair of huge bat-like wings to catch the air. And this is where we are going to end this week's session.
Holy shit!
No. Oh my gosh, what's happening? Everything's getting worse.
Shit, shit's hit the fan.